This is the sermon from September 21st, 2025. The sermon text is Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." That sums up what we see in his call of St. Matthew and what we see in his call of every Christian. As we consider this account of him calling Matthew, and the example of the man who would later be used by the Holy Spirit to write the first gospel, we today are given both instruction and comfort. So who was this man, this Matthew? We know that he also was known as Levi. That's the name used in Mark and Luke's gospels. Some people speculate his brother was James the Lesser, one of the other 12 apostles. They both are described as being sons of Alphaeus. But the main point, the point that's made in our text, really, right? And remember, this is writing by Matthew himself under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the point Matthew is making about himself is that he was a tax collector. You might remember a thing or two about tax collectors and other places in the Gospels. They collected taxes for the Roman government. The Jews hated the Romans. They hated being under Roman rule. They therefore hated those who worked for Rome, the tax collectors. And in turn, the tax collectors often overcharged those who were required to stop at their tax booths. Your ordinary person from Judea or Galilee probably did not have thorough knowledge of Roman tax law. Complicated tax laws are nothing new under the sun. And even if they did, the court of appeal or the customer service representative, right, that was the Roman soldier who was guarding the tax collector. And that soldier knew that taxes paid his wages, and he knew that the Jews hated him. And so those soldiers were going to be less than sympathetic. Matthew then would have been despised in his community. Those living in his city would have seen him as a traitor and a thief. He would have been shunned and avoided by other people. The only company Matthew would have kept likely would have been other tax collectors, other people shunned by society for their sins. If you would have polled those in Capernaum about who would be the most, you know, devout follower of the Messiah when he arrives, well, Matthew probably would have finished pretty near the bottom of the list. There's one man, though, who knew differently, who knew better. And that man just happened to be the Messiah himself, Jesus. Thus, we read, "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Jesus, who knows the hearts and minds of all men, passes by this tax booth, perhaps having done so many times before. But this time he calls out to the tax collector sitting there, "Follow me." This is an incredible thing. It's scandalous even for some. Remember Jesus, he's an up-and-coming rabbi, he's a powerful preacher, he's a worker of great miracles. And this is still fairly early on in his ministry when he's rather popular. Why on earth then would Jesus call this guy? Doesn't he know how hated Matthew is by the rest of the city, by the rest of the people? Wouldn't it interfere with Jesus' ministry to associate with such people? I mean, this is obviously where the Pharisees come. You know, hang around with tax collectors and sinners, they eat with them. It just isn't done. But Jesus knows better. Jesus knows Matthew. Interestingly, what Jesus knows might make the Pharisees detest Matthew even more. Now, why do I say that? Well, remember, Jesus knows the heart. He can see into the soul. He knows the true extent of Matthew's sin, his spiritual sickness. He knows not only Matthew's outward words and deeds, he knows the thoughts of his heart. He knows what has gone through Matthew's head when Matthew would overhear his fellow Jews say terrible things about him. And he also knew what would go through Matthew's thoughts when he overcharged those guys in order to get even. Jesus knows the extent of Matthew's sin, but still, he calls him. For as he said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." As equally amazing as Jesus calling Matthew is, there's also the change that the Holy Spirit works in Matthew's heart upon hearing this call. After hearing those words, the two little words, Matthew gets up and follows Jesus. Why does he do this? What would go through his head at that point? I mean, Jesus' words aren't a magic spell. He isn't hypnotizing Matthew to make him follow. And nor does Jesus seem to offer anything in the way of worldly benefits. There's no mention of an apostle's starting salary or Jesus's competitive benefits package. No, it's purely the words of Jesus, which provoke thought and repentance and even faith in Matthew, leading him to follow him. As a tax collector, Matthew would have been good at counting costs. He would have known what it was going to cost him to walk away from his tax booth, from his career. Right here, Matthew is staking everything on Jesus, as his boss isn't going to take him back, nor will any other tax collecting group. And the Jews, they're not going to be sympathetic to Matthew. They're going to see him as a traitor getting his just punishment. If following Jesus doesn't work out, Matthew's got no plan B. Yet, by the Holy Spirit's working through these words of Jesus, Matthew also realizes that he is sick. He's got a disease that no earthly physician can heal. Matthew comes to understand there are problems that tax money can't solve. Right? Matthew realizes that love is something that can't be purchased with money. Being on the receiving end of his countrymen's hatred, likely feeling hatred for them in return, Matthew would see that the things of this world can't restore that bond between men. It can't give true or lasting love. He'd feel that pit in his soul, that hole that maybe he tried to fill with other things, right? Money, pleasure, possessions, you know, whatever you have you. But he realized it could never be filled. Matthew'd also realize that you could have all the tax money in the world and you're still going to die. Death was much more a part of daily life in the first century AD. Matthew would have realized, you know, one day it's going to be him getting put in a tomb, rotting away into bones, while his soul goes to Sheol and faces judgment from God for what he's done. The Holy Spirit led Matthew to realize that he was sick in both body and soul, that he needed a physician who could cure both. Spirit then led him to believe the physician was Jesus. As a resident of Capernaum, Matthew almost certainly would have heard of Jesus' many miracles, restoring bodies, suffering with all manner of disease, driving out demons, right, by a mere word, calming storms at command. And perhaps Matthew had even heard some of Jesus' preaching, his words calling for people to repent, for the kingdom was at hand, his teaching from the mountain on who is truly blessed, the comforting words that the God of heaven cares even for the birds and the flowers, and so how much more so those made in his image. He may have even heard that Jesus forgave a man's sins, something that only God had the power to do. And then that Jesus went on to heal the man of paralysis, also through the power of God. Matthew was sick and sinful, but Jesus was there to heal and make righteous. And so, when Jesus tells him, "Follow me," Matthew gets up from his tax booth and follows. Did all those thoughts that we just talked about, did they all rush through his head in a moment? Or had he been stewing on them for a while, sitting there at his tax booth day after day? The Bible doesn't say. Matthew doesn't tell us. He simply says that he followed Jesus. Now, Matthew certainly could not have imagined where Jesus would lead him. But Jesus, looking at that man in the tax booth that day, he already knew. Matthew would be an incredible example of what the power of God does in transforming repentant sinners into those bearing the righteousness of God. This former tax collector would go on to be one of the 12 apostles, those men through whom Jesus would work to spread the faith once he ascended into heaven. Matthew, again, would also go on to write one of the four gospels, the Holy Spirit guiding his thoughts and reflections and writing so that the end product was divine, not human. Matthew's gospel is also noteworthy in that it seems to be written primarily, at least at first, towards a Jewish audience. Many mentions of fulfilled prophecy, concerns with, you know, who's the son of Abraham, the son of David. The man who had taken the people's money, being despised by them and likely despising them in return, now in love gives them the words of eternal life, so they might be led to repent of their sins and receive the healing that Jesus delights to give to them, the healing that he had given to Matthew. According to tradition, Matthew spent time preaching to his countrymen in Judea before heading to Ethiopia, where he was eventually martyred. He had followed his Lord in proclaiming his word and finally receiving from the Lord the glorious crown of life in heaven. So how does the account of St. Matthew connect to us today? Well, like Matthew, each of us are called by the Lord, who speaks through his word, saying, "Follow me." At some point in our lives, perhaps at our baptism, perhaps through the reading or hearing of the word, Jesus tells us, "Follow me." He knows that we're sick, sinful people. He knows that better than we know it ourselves, and he calls us to us all the same. When he calls us, he convicts us of our sins. He shows us that we are sinners, not righteous, that we are sick, not healthy. And at the same time, he leads us to trust in him, that he is the one to make us whole, that he is the one to wipe away our sins with his blood. Throughout our lives, Jesus continues to call to us, "Follow me." For the Christian life is just that. It's a life. It isn't a decision or a moment in time. It's a path in which one walks, following the Savior. Day by day, our Lord calls us to walk in his footsteps, to put away our idols, to repent of our sins, to seek the treasures of heaven and not earth. And like he did with Matthew, as he calls us to do these things, he will also strengthen us to do them. Like Matthew, we don't know where our Lord will lead us. We don't know how long our path on this earth is before he calls us to heaven. We don't know how he'll use us to bring about his good and gracious will. Maybe you'll be used to reach hundreds or thousands of people. Maybe your example of faithfulness in just a small circle of friends will bear eternal fruit. You don't know. I don't know. But Jesus, the God who calls you to follow him, he knows. So confess your sins to him and let him give you his righteousness. Acknowledge the sickness of your soul and let the great physician heal as only he can. For you, like St. Matthew, have been called by him. In the name of Jesus, amen.